Blog Talk Radio.
Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, I am so excited about you on today and excited that you joined me again for another glorious and wonderful lesson through the words of empowerment, bringing you forth words of encouragement from biblical lessons and principle, exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy of today's living, and praying that God will continue to grant you ultimate victory in every aspect of your life. Truly, God is a wonderful Savior and a righteous God. I have a wonderful lesson for you today, and we hear it being sung through songs of how great is our God is our lesson on today. And I'm going to invite you, if you can, get your Bibles and come right on in and make yourself right at home. And we're going to look at Psalms 66, verses 1 through 15. I know without a shadow of a doubt, your life is going to be tremendously blessed, and God is going to open up your understanding for even greater revelation, manifestation, and rhema into your spirit as he empowers you through these words on today. Get ready for your blessing. I tell you, I hear the scripture say, it's nigh thee, even in your mouth. All you need to do is speak it and watch God bless it. And I'm talking about speaking forth his word, because the whole universe recognize the written word and the spoken word of God and have to respond on your behalf, because you couple that thing with faith believing. So let's come on and just bring your thoughts in for just a moment as we talk about how great is our God. And from the perspective of Psalms 66, verses 1 through 15, and it reads on this line, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible are the acts art thou in thy works. Thus, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto you. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turns the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on the foot. They did not, and there did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever, and his eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our lions. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the waters, but thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. I will go into thine house with burnt offering. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of ram. I will offer bullocks with the goats, Selah. So far, the reading of the scripture, and our focus is going to be in verse number 16. And it reads on this line, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Let's take a look at our lesson on today. I tell you, I know you're going to be blessed because I'm being blessed by just reading that scripture. I tell you, it was some words reaping out there at my soul. And so we must recognize in this particular book of Psalms, and in verses number 2 and 1 was a national song of deliverance with 3 stanzas. In verse number 13 through verse number 19, it comprised of a personal song by the psalmist. And then when we look at verse number 20, it serves as a response to the previous verse, possibly to be spoken by a congregation in unison. Now, the author of Psalm 63 is really not known. While David wrote many of the Psalms, which we know that, he did not compose all of them. But the book of Psalms was the Hebrew songs and praises manual, and God used many people to add to its pages as well. So when we look here, we find praise and worship is not just for a few, it is for many. Worship and praise is not just for the kings, not just for leaders or pastor or the people. We are all called to worship and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the construction of this particular psalm, Psalm 66, suggests that the praise and worship is not just for the nation alone. It proceeds from the leaders to the nation and then to the people. Now, let's take a look at corporate praise. And when we begin to think in terms of corporate praise is when we come together as the body of Christ and offering up praises unto God, such as when we gather on our Sunday morning gathering or through the week. As we come together, we corporately, as the body of Christ, lift his name up through songs, through declaration of praise, through hymns, as we give his name praise, glory, and honor. Such as it is, too, we know and recognize that we as the children of God, outside of the corporate praise, there should be an individual praise or personal praise or a private praise as we begin to worship and praise God for who he is and what he's done for us in our own private life, our private devotion, and our time in our local abode, whether it be in the car, whether it be walking down the street, whether it's in between job assignment and things. We are giving God the praise and showing forth the praises of his mighty name. Now let's look further and find that corporate praise and worship, it is good, but it's not really good enough. It must move from the Holy Spirit to the worship leader, to the church, and corporately onto the hearts of the individual. We must grow in God to a mature state in which we can praise and worship God in the absence of a crowd, in the absence of the music, in the absence of the sanctuary. And that's where the corporate, the individual praise becomes very vital to us as the children of God. Yes, we was engaged or led into worship when we was there at corporate praise, but when we begin to be alone, we should have enough down within our inward man that when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, our souls begin to cry, hallelujah, oh, worshiping him. And a song will strike out in your spirit. Even a new song can come to your heart as you sing and praise unto God, because he is such a gracious God, an awesome God, a wonderful God that have all power in his hand. Now, however, we never reach the place where we no longer need to participate in corporate worship. And please don't get that wrong. We must recognize that is God's ordained will for the children of God to gather together for corporate prayer. But we are not to forsake the assembling of the church together for the times of fellowship and worship. And you'll find that the scripture itself will be in Hebrews 10:25. Still, we need a personal song of praise and worship for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us. Now, we should also explore the difference between praise and worship. We need to be thankful to God and express our gratitude and praise and worship, but being thankful only is even inadequate. Praise alone is insufficient. God deserves to receive the full dimension of our worship. which only can follow thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving involves also verbalizing our appreciation for what God has done for us. Praise entails lifting our hands and our hearts to God for what he has done and is doing and will do. Now, worship, on the other hand, involves humbly bowing down before the Lord and acknowledging his sole and complete lordship. Now, that's the aspect that we must begin to more engage in, even more so. In our individual worship unto God is humbling down and bowing down and worshiping him and complete surrendering to his complete lordship over our life as we acknowledging him that our dependency is being upon him. Now, worship is much more than an outward position of the body. Worship is an attitude of the heart as it is acknowledging the Lord of heaven and of earth. And so as we in our hearts, in our mind and soul, begin to acknowledge him and worship him and praise him and think that we bow down, that is worshiping him. Now we can praise him for all that he's done, going to do and will do, but when we solely surrender ourselves and bow down up under his mighty hand, and things and say, Lord, I completely surrender to your lordship, is worship, true worship. When a person gives thanks to another, there is a starting and ending point. Quite often when the list of blessings is ended, the thanksgiving also ends. Praise also have a distinct starting point and completion. When our hands become tired, we lower them. When our voice becomes tired, we become quiet. When our bodies get tired, we sit down. While they may be signal that the conclusion of praise, true worship of God continues. When we become a true worshiper, our worship never ends. God is the object of our adoration, for he is worthy of all that praise and worship. Our heart continually bows to him, obey him, and adores him. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. True worship never ends because God never changes. Moreover, true worship is based on who God is and not solely on what he does. And so that's the difference. And things, if he never blesses us again, and things, guess what? We can still yet worship him. If he never does that or even bring the promises to pass, we can still yet worship him because of who he is and his position in our lives. Oh, child of God, I feel a worship right now hitting my soul even as we're teaching this lesson. Now, let's look at another aspect here. Sing God's praises over in Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4 through the Amplified Bible state. Make a joyful noise unto God, all the earth. Sing forth the honor and the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome and how fearfully and glorious are your works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves to you. Not only that, all the earth shall bow down to you and sing praises to you. They shall praise your name in song, Selah. Now, when we look here at verse 1 of Psalm 66, it gives us the first of the nine commands found in that Psalms. God commanded are not optional. He expects us to obey them. And let's take a look at these nine commandments that was done or commands that was taking place in this particular Psalm. Number one, he said, make a joyful noise unto God. That's out of Psalms 66:1. And then he said, number two, the second command is, sing forth the honor of his name, Psalm 66:2. And then the third one, he said, make his praise glorious. The fourth one is, say unto God, he's terrible, are you in his work, Psalm 66:3. And then verse number five says, it's our fifth one, command, it said, come and see the work of God. The next one, it said, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. The seventh command is, bless our God, Psalms 66 and 8. And then the eighth one is, make the voice of his praises to be heard. So he's saying, don't say it in just a soft voice, but make my praises to be heard. Be heard among those that are around you. Let it be heard. And then verse number 16, it says, come and hear. And so here we have nine commands that was given in regards to praising him and giving him the glory. Amen. Now let's look further. When we sing unto God his praise and honor, we are to praise and reverence the name of Jesus. His name is glorious and worthy of all praise. Only through his name is there forgiveness of sin. Only through his name is there power to be realized even in our prayers. The name of Jesus is higher than any other. He alone is of heaven and earth. Moreover, we are both to praise him and to make his praise glorious. Further, the Hebrew words translated glorious has to do with abundance and having much weight. In other words, we are to abundantly praise the name of Jesus. We are to praise him in such a way that if it could be weight, it will possess much weight. It is worthy, a weighty praise and worship. He is. When we sing, we need to sing with psalms and sing praises unto him. It would be good for us to forget we have known words and remember that we are filled with this presence of God and his blessing, and sometimes being engulfed or in essence being raptured in the presence of God because we're caught up in praise and worshiping him. We shall never lower our singing to the point of only going through the motion of praise. Our singing should truly escort us into the presence of the King of Kings. Now, that is a profound thing, because when we sing praises unto God, God wants us to allow our praises to be what escort us into his presence and bring us into his presence, because we made his praises glorious. Not only did we make his praise glorious, but they was weighty. They had power in it. It was not just a shallow thing, but it was weighty. It was a heavy praise. It was a praise that you could feel the weight of it and the conviction of it and the sincerity of it, because it was coming out of our place of our soul. Like the scripture said, I will bless the Lord at all time, and my praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then it talks about that his soul may boast, and that the humble will hear and make us be glad, and because they are making their soul is boasting in the Lord so much so that it can be heard, and the person sitting next to them will make a boast in the Lord. Now let's look. It says, speak of God's power and greatness. To whom does the psalmist say we are to speak of God's greatness and his promise? His greatness and power. Now, the psalmist indicated that we are to speak these things to God, to the Lord. This service at least have two purposes. Now, I want you to take note here, because this is very key. When we praising God and when we worshiping God, you want to make sure that you are not just doing it, but you are directing what you're doing unto the Lord our God. And things, Lord, this is for you. Lord, this I do and bring glory unto you as you're worshiping God and making his praise glorious and things to bring honor unto the Lord our God. Oh, I feel the praise in my house right now. I feel a worship. And so pray for me that I can continue this lesson, because when you think about God and his goodness and you begin to pull on the presence of the Holy Spirit and the praise begin to escort you into the presence of God, it just seems as though it just raptures your soul and you're just in the presence of God and just there to give his name glory and honor and praise. And so we must recognize that when we do this, these two purposes, that we acknowledge his power and his greatness in both gratitude and in true praise and worship. Secondly, it also exalts God's act of love on our behalf when God sees our praise and worship, for he has past blessing and the present blessing and the past blessings that is going to be afar off and things. It gets the attention of God and things because we're praising him for his love that he has towards us. We're praising him for his power. We're praising him for his greatness and things. And I think a lot of times we praise him for his power a lot of time because we've seen him move. We've seen his hand. And then we praise him for his love all the time. But that third element in things, the praising him for his greatness. That's why I believe the song has been so relevant and things, how great is our God. That particular song has been so powerful because God wants us to praise him for his greatness. Can you just imagine yourself standing before the presence of God right there in your own home and just saying, God, you know, I'm praising you just for your greatness. Oh, Rabbi Shandaria, just for your greatness of being a great, awesome God. I'm just going to take 30 minutes or even 30 seconds and just praise you for your greatness. Yes, I honor your power. Yes, I honor your love. But you are such a great and mighty God, and I just worship you. I just worship you because of who you are. And we also are to speak of God's gracious work to the heathen so that they may praise and magnify the Lord as well. Someday they will have to worship and praise God and change of heart and start worshiping God. But if we will speak to them now of his excellent greatness, they will have an opportunity to choose to worship and praise the Lord today. Now, let's come and see the work of the Lord. Psalm 66, verses 5 through 12 said, come and see the works of God. He is an awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. He turns the sea into dry land. They went through the water on foot. They will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nation. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah, oh, bless our God, you people, and make a voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our back. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to a rich fulfillment or a wealthy place. Amen. Christians and the children of God should never forget that God has done for them in the past and what he is able to do and willing to do for us today. Now, when we begin to look at the King James Version of the scripture of Psalm 66 and 3, it says that God is terrible in his work. Now, and the word terrible translated from the Hebrew yah, which means to fear or to reverence, to be afraid of, to stand in awe, or to be awed, or to be feared, or to show reverence, and to honor and to respect, and to call astonishment or awe, and to be held in awe, and to inspire reverence or godly fear or awe. And this is according to the Brown, Drivers, and Briggs Hebrew lexicon. In other words, when we consider the works of God, we recognize that he is truly, truly an awesome God. Oh, my God. When I consider thy heaven, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that visiteth him? Oh, children of God, God did not have to be mindful of mankind, yet he chose to love us and redeem us and prepare an eternal dwelling place in which he would live and we would live forever. Now, great deliverance in the past. Let's take a look at that real quickly as we move forward in this wonderful lesson. God is not just a God of the past, but our God But our past deliverance proves that God is able and willing to deliver us today. And he's no respecter of person. The psalmist listed 11 acts that God had displayed in the history of his people. These actions of God's were all intended to bless the people and place them in a posture and position of blessing and fruitfulness. Perhaps not all of them would be humanly perceived as blessing, but they were all intended for the ultimate good and blessing of the people of God. Some of God's action, as we all know, causes people to repent and return to him, who would then be able to bless them in return. Now, let's look at some of these wonderful blessings that we find here in the word of the Lord. It says, God dried up the sea. This provision provided their deliverance from Egypt. Then we also see that God ruled by his power forever. And this, as we know, speaks of his daily administration of the lives of his people. Also, we find that God rules by his power forever, and God sees the nation, and his eyes keep watch over them. Also, God holds our souls in his life, and he gives us life. God does not permit our feet to be moved. He set us in a sure place away from stumbling. God has proven and tried us like the refining of silver or other precious metal. God brought us into the net. In other words, he captured us when we was headed towards self-destruction. God led us to a place of repentance because he loves us and truly wants us to save us from our sin. God laid affliction even upon us. Again, he does this for our benefit to lead us back to repentance. God causes men to ride over our head, and he brought us through fire and water. He brought us out into a wealthy place. And this is a broad place, a moist place of abundance and blessing and prosperity. We are much and have much to praise God and worship God for all that he's done and given us in our lives. And not only that, but with our whole heart, mind, and soul, as we lift up our voices and our praise to give God praise, glory, and honor that is due unto his name. Because everything he does it for our good, that it may bring glory back unto him, that it may help us, fortify us, cause us to mature, to come into a wealthy place and things, and to undergird us. Now, isn't it ironic that when you're right there in the midst of the battle, you've fought the hardest, and the reason why you're being fought the hardest, the devil don't want you to come to your wealthy place. He don't want you to come to your place of wealth, your wealthy place. And that's why you have fought the hardest in things, because he knows of the blessing that is up ahead of what God is doing in and through that situation that you find yourself in, that is a wealthy place on the other side of your trouble. Oh, child of God. And so what I come to encourage you and to admonish you is to begin to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord and things, and stay to the work of God. Now, 1 Peter 1:7 said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so go on through, be encouraged, let God continue to strengthen your heart and mind. God's trying to get you to a wealthy place, and the adversary sees it and don't want you in your wealthy place. He want to keep you as a spiritual vagabond on the other side, murmuring and complaining, knowing that is an offense against God, and God do not want his children to be murmuring and complaining. And that's what happened to the children of Israel, because they murmured and complained and they lost out. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And so we, as the children of God, we must recognize that as we're praising him, there is a wealthy place I'm coming to. And that's what you can speak even to all of your craziness, all of the stuff that's going on in and through your life even right now, all of the misunderstanding, all of the things that you're being fought with. Speak to it and say, I will come to my wealthy place. I will enter into my wealthy place, and God will bless me, and God will work it out on my behalf. Begin to speak to it and open your mouth and release God on it and watch God perform it on your behalf and move on your behalf and bless you, man, woman of God, and undergird you as never before. Shuraba. I could just feel the presence of God even right now, how God is wanting to bless his children in a mighty and a special way. And many times, if we don't see the greatness of God in the midst of chaos, we can miss God in the midst of our chaos. And so when we begin to seek out God's greatness and begin to worship him because he is great, you will begin to see the greatness of God right there in the darkness of that trial and that tribulation that you find yourself going through. And so I concur to you and I encourage and admonish you on today to bear down and begin to worship the greatness of God, even his power and for his love, but most of all for his greatness of who he is and what he's able to do. I am so reminded of even Jehoshaphat when the Ammonites and the Moabites was coming up against him. I love that passage of scripture. I love what Jehoshaphat did. He began to worship God. He began to talk about God's greatness or what God had done already. He didn't go in complaining. He didn't go in putting up his prayer requests or supplication or petition and things. He didn't do that. What he did, he started out talking about the greatness of God. And so in my closing today, when you go back to worshiping God and to praising God, start at a place of his greatness and begin to talk about how great he is in your life and what you see him as his greatness in your life. And as you begin to do that, watch God begin to unfold to you greater revelation as he escorts you into his presence because of your praise and your worship. And so, child of God, it's time for us, as never before, for us to pay our vow and things, and our vow to worship him. The scripture said that I will go into thy house with burnt offering. I will pay thee my vow. Psalms 122:1 said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And as we go into the house of the Lord, we want to go in there with a mindset to praise him for his greatness. I told someone the other day, I was sharing, you know, going to the house of God is not no social gathering. It's not where we're going and kicking it with our girlfriend or a homie or friend and thing. It's a place where we come to worship God, to render praise unto God, and to give him what's due unto him, our praise, and making it glorious and making his praise weighty so all can feel and this earth can tremble when they know that the people of God is worshiping great Jehovah, our God, our loving God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the whole earth would tremble. Don't you know, I'm going to close in just a moment. We had a wonderful incident. We had an atheist to come and knock on our door or come to our church door and told us we need to cut our music down because he was an atheist and it was disturbing him. I tell you, if we did not make our praise glorious and more weightier and giving God more praise unto him because he alone is just worthy of the praise, glory, and honor, so much so that you worship him to even make even the demons tremble and things and even get mad at you because you're worshiping and praising your God. And so I come to tell you, children of God, as never before, it's our time now to make God's praise glorious. worthy. And because great is our God, he's worthy of all the praise, he's worthy of all the glory, he's worthy of all the honor that's due unto his name. And it is our time to make it glorious in his sight. Oh, child of God, great is our God, and he's worthy unto all the praise, glory, and honor to be praised. And so in my closing, I want you to know, child of God, this never before, this is our time now to lift up our Lord, to give him the praise and the glory that is due unto his name. And as you are praising him, and as you bow down in acknowledging and submitting to his lordship in your life, make his praise glorious and praising his greatness, because great is our God. Oh, child of God, Father, we ask, oh God, I just feel you to hasten to your throne right now. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy as we make your praise glorious, as we move, Father, expeditiously in your will and your plan for our lives, asking that you will be glorified and lifted up because you alone is worthy. Father, let us make your praise glorious. And God, let it be weighty as we praise you, God, as we praise your greatness and praise your power and praise your name, O Most High. And Father, we'll praise you and give you the glory and honor that's due unto your name. Set a praise in the heart and the spirit of your people. And Father, let it be glorious unto your ears, O God, until you come back and visit us in the midst of our worship and praise. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. I pray, amen and amen. Oh, child of God, it was good to be with you on today and talking about the goodness of the Lord. I tell you, we could have went on up to the second and the third heaven. I tell you, gotten lost right into the praise. But I tell you, as never before, let us worship him. Let us praise him and let us give him that was due unto his name. And that is our praise. And so until we see each other again, may God richly, richly bless you, is my prayer. And God bless you now. Amen. Bye-bye.